is Nikula Baseli Nikula? And is that even really his name? A man who identified himself that way is believed to be behind that anti-Islamic movie that's causing worldwide protests. He's in a Los Angeles jail today while he waits for a hearing for violating the terms of his probation in a check fraud case. And ironically, considering that the movie went viral on YouTube, his probation banned him from computers and the internet. Brooks Barnes is covering the story for the New York Times. And Brooks, how many aliases does this guy have, and how did that figure into the judge's decision to keep him in jail until his probation hearing?
There may be 500 or more aliases. We don't really know. But going back to that check fraud case, that's how many he was actually using. Here, we have fewer names. Nikula Baseli Nikula is the name that he's been going by. He also, while working on the movie, used this name Sam Baseli, which he did interviews with the media early on when this whole thing broke loose. Now, yesterday, we hear that in court, it comes out that his name may have actually been legally changed to Mark Youssef, but it's kind of hard to tell who this guy is.
So many aliases, possibly, because he was just involved in a lot of check and financial fraud? Is that why there may be so many versions of his name?
Yes.
He's being described as a Christian originally from Egypt who went into hiding after the trailer for the movie went up on YouTube. Do we know exactly what his connection to the film is?
We know that he produced the film. He was working on it for some time. We don't know how he paid for it or how much it cost. We know that it did not cost what he initially said, which was $5 million or so, which there's no way that's a $5 million project. People say it's more like $100,000 or less. He originally told cast and crew that it was a movie that was completely different, that it was something called Desert Warrior, and it had nothing to do with Islam or Muslim people, and then there were certain scenes that were dubbed in over. So the cast and crew feels, you know, rightly very duped and scared in this whole process, and we don't really know sort of what this guy's intentions were.
As we said, part of his probation was that he had to stay offline, but that's not actually the probation term he violated, as I understand it. So why was he in court yesterday?
But he was brought in yesterday for violating 8 different charges of his probation. We don't know what all of those 8 charges are, but the prosecutor did say that it involved him lying about his real name to investigators as recently as last weekend when they brought him in for a voluntary questioning. So getting to the truth of this guy is extremely difficult, even for the federal agents.
Even though he was told to stay off computers, how enforceable is that in this day and age? I mean, obviously, this movie ended up online, whether or not he put it there. So is this a probation term that can really be enforced?
I'm not really sure if it was that he couldn't be on computers at all or if it had to be approved by his probation officer. I think that it was the latter. We just don't know sort of the details there.
So there are now concerns about his safety. I mean, for one thing, he could end up in a prison with Muslim inmates who would be very displeased with him. There's also a Pakistani cabinet member offering $100,000 to anyone who kills him. What's next for this guy, and is there a protective custody situation waiting for him?
His defense lawyer yesterday brought that up, and part of why he argued for bail, a $10,000 bail. The judge denied that, saying that she felt that the Bureau of Prisons here had satisfactorily address the safety issue, but the fact of the matter is that it's hard to protect a guy who has sparked this level of violence across the world, for sure.
And in that sense, the damage is done. I mean, certainly he may end up facing charges, but you can't take back what the movie has already caused.
You can't take it back, and there's also the other layer of just what he's guilty of doing. There are freedom of speech issues here, but certainly the probation charge is what they're focused on today.
Well, that's an interesting point. I mean, could it be that there's really nothing he's done illegally, criminally, or civilly in regards to the movie? I mean, if when you consider First Amendment and so forth.
Could be, yeah. And YouTube, for example, has determined that the 14-minute video that was uploaded does not violate its terms for hate speech. So that's why it remains up there.
Brooks Barnes of the New York Times with the latest on the man thought to be behind that anti-Islamic film causing protests around the Muslim world. Brooks, thanks very much.
Sure thing.